are friends with fantasy benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. Fucking football's here. I'm doing absolutely amazing. It's going to be an absolutely great ride. I can't wait to do it with you. And
we are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
A missed field goal by Graham Gano, who's been like one of the best kickers in the NFL since leaving the goddamn Redskins.
As big as he is, nobody can really take that type of creaming.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
What are they going to do with them?
I don't know. And I guess they got caught because they butt-dialed someone.
Wow. He must have really screwed these people over. Like, they must really hate... I mean, everybody hates Rob Ryan, but...
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 83 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join with me on this week one preview edition is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
Dude, fucking football's here. I'm doing absolutely amazing. We both just got to watch the Broncos and Carolina Panthers game. If their game is any indication of how the 2016 season is going to go, then it's going to be an absolutely great ride. I can't wait to do it with you and with all the listeners. Just get through this year and let's win some championships.
Yeah, it was an absolute fantastic game to start off the 2016 season. And it couldn't have ended better than with a missed field goal by Graham Gano, who's been like one of the best kickers in the NFL since leaving the goddamn Redskins.
He made the first one.
Barely.
Yeah.
And he overcorrected. He overcorrected it.
Yeah, he did. He made it to the right, and he was like, man, that's going to miss next time. So he tried to correct it to the left, and he overcorrected. And I feel for him because Cam Newton just got bludgeoned in the second half, specifically on the last drive when he got hit by, I think it was Shaq Barrett, absolutely nailed him with a helmet-to-helmet hit. Cam, man, he's not going to have to face the Broncos every week, but if teams start getting to him like that, there's no way he's going to last 16 games. As big as he is, nobody can really take that type of creaming. So that's something we'll need to watch, is the offensive line for Carolina.
Yeah, it's something we'll definitely have to watch. But, I mean, there were some really kind of cheapish hits.
That didn't
get called. And, like, you know, and Cam kept, like, looking around and looking for the flags and stuff, and he just wasn't getting them tonight. But I don't know if that's something we're going to see more of. Let's talk real quick about, you know, a little bit about the game. I definitely want to jump into the full slate because we got 15 games to talk about for Sunday and Monday. How impressive to you is CJ Anderson?
He's great, and it's honestly I'm so happy to see him being implemented in the offense the way I feel he should be and the way I thought he would be. Based on the way Gary Kubiak likes to run his scheme, it went kind of according to plan. Anderson looks great. He looks fully healthy. He looks like he did the second half of 2014, which is certainly exciting for anybody that drafted him this year. So as far as the way he looks right now, you can't really ask for better. That front seven for Carolina is about as good as it gets, and the fact that he was able to get a receiving and rushing touchdown, over 120 total yards or combo yards together, that's really encouraging to see. As far as leaking out to more of the Denver offense, we also saw Demaryius Thomas only end up with 4 catches. Pretty much another sign to me that he's more of a wide receiver 2 this year than a wide receiver 1. And Sanders, you know, in PPR ended up getting, you know, 5 receptions as well. So those guys are both going to be kind of right on the tier of wide receiver 2-3 all year long for me in PPR. And Virgil Green, you know, he got a couple receptions as well. So yeah, it's really nice for me to see the Denver offense do what I thought they would do prior to the season starting. Not an electric unit, but a team that will be able to use CJ Anderson as long as he's healthy, and he'll be a running back 1. I'm pretty confident in that.
Denver also turned the ball over, I mean,
three times
in the game, but twice, you know, kind of deep in Carolina territory. So this could have been a much different score of a game.
Yep.
Demaryius Thomas, short arm, 2 balls where he was about to get hit. I think, you know, I know you're down on Demaryius Thomas. And I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be a wide receiver 1, but I still think that's is a possibility. Going against worse defenses, you know, I think he gets to play San Diego twice, gets to play the Raiders twice. You know, so I mean, Carolina, even with the loss of Josh Norman, is still a fantastic defense. And the fact that Denver put up 21 points on them is nothing to be ashamed of.
Agreed.
What about Janovich, the fullback, the new superstar in the NFL? Oh, my God. Everybody just lost their goddamn mind.
First off, it was a false start because he twitched a little bit before he got the ball or before the ball was snapped. We'll just let that go, though.
And everybody freaking out on Twitter and on social media. CJ Anderson wasn't even in the game.
Yeah.
Booker was at running back. So
I didn't know this was even a thing.
Yeah. Oh, no. People just lost their goddamn mind.
For those that don't know, like, I'm in San Diego right now. I live in Nashville. I'm in San Diego for a wedding. My buddy, I'm the best man at his wedding. And I haven't been on social media as much as I like. But if I saw that, that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's a fullback, for Christ's sake.
It was a great run, too.
Yeah, it was great. But he did flinch. It should have been a false start, for sure.
You know, last thing I'll say is Simeon looked poised. He doesn't look fluid. You know, he definitely looked tense, robotic at times. Did not look like he was 100% comfortable. But I think that was also a product of the amount of blitzing Carolina did. And so I think that, you know, a team like Carolina decided they wanted to try to dial up the pressure, and I was actually pretty impressed with the way he handled it.
Yeah, he did about as good as you can expect or hope. You know, his first NFL game starting, a lot of pressure, Super Bowl champions facing the team they beat in the Super Bowl, and, you know, Cam Newton coming in with a vengeance, that team coming in with a vengeance. I mean, this is a well-coached team. It wouldn't surprise me if Carolina ends up winning, you know, all but three or four of their games the rest of the way and, you know, returns to the Super Bowl. So I think that due to the, you know, the fact that the circumstances were a certain way, you can't really ask for more from Semien. From fantasy perspective, he's not going to be anywhere close to a quarterback one for you.
I don't
think there will be weeks that will happen. I think that this offense is going to live and die by CJ Anderson.
And I agree with that, but I'm just talking about in terms of
Thomas and Sanders.
Yeah,
and the
Thomas
catchers.
And Sanders, and even Virgil Green, who would have had a wide open touchdown. I mean, he was wide open in the end zone in the third quarter, and if Simeon had just lofted it to him,
it would have been sick.
So I think that I'm not necessarily as afraid as I might have been coming into the game for the receiving options. And I think this, if Simeon continues to play well enough, we're not going to see Paxton Lynch at any point this year.
True. And I mean, as long as he runs the offense that way, I mean, they let go of Mark Sanchez because they felt like Semien is good enough to do that. And I do just want to say with Thomas and with Sanders, for that matter, that, you know, I ended up drafting both of them in multiple drafts this year, not because I think that they are going to outperform their draft, you know, where they were taken in drafts, but because the hate kind of got a bit too far with both of them, really.
Yeah.
At least in a couple places. So when I say that Thomas is a wide receiver too, I think for most of the weeks of the season he'll be a wide receiver too, but that's not to say he can't have multiple games where he goes for 9-10 catches for 160 yards and a touch or two. Thomas is still a top 10 wide receiver in terms of skill. This really comes down to the offense and what kind of game scripts Denver gets into. And a lot of times I feel like with them, they're going to be getting into the defensive matchups, battles, if you will, and it's going to be just kind of a grinded type of
yeah,
style.
They're not going to need to air it out.
Exactly.
So just a quick warning, if you haven't listened to the baseball podcast this last week, I have been mentioning that I am extremely sick. I will try not to cough all over the airwaves, but no guarantees. I'm doing the best I can. It's one of the reasons why we didn't record another football episode earlier this week. I just wasn't able to talk for an hour straight. So let's go ahead and jump into week one. We'll start with the first game. That is Green Bay at Jacksonville. Mike, what is the thing you're watching for in this game?
Well, I'm definitely watching for how this Green Bay offense bounces back from last year, where they were a bottom 10 offense overall. You know, you have Eddie, there's a lot of, you know, different topics on this offense that you can discuss. The biggest one that I'll be looking for is Jordy Nelson and how he, how he kind of makes this team better or just kind of the same as last year. I'm expecting this offense to take a big boost forward, and I think all fantasy players are as well based on where all of them were being drafted. But that's the biggest storyline for me, is how Jordy Nelson affects this team, affects this offense, and if he is right himself. If we see him out of the game in the first half due to a some type of soft tissue injury, or God forbid anything happening with either of the knees, then that spells a lot of trouble for this Green Bay offense, in my opinion, based on what we saw last season. So mainly I'll be watching Jordy Nelson and how he impacts this game.
Yeah, that was going to be my takeaway too. So I'll go a different direction with mine. But just to comment on it, I was by far the lowest out of our rankers. I ranked him 25th among wide receivers. You were kind of right in line with virtually everybody else. Ben was quite a bit higher. He had him in the top 10, but everybody else had him outside the top 10, 13, 12, and 15. I'm not willing to bank on him being a stud right away. One, as great of a game as Kelvin Benjamin had tonight, and he did. He had a great game if you look at the stat sheet. He was having a hard time moving around, and especially when he got hit in the leg. So, I don't think... not everybody is a freak of nature like Adrian Peterson and is going to come back after an ACL, surgery or tear in surgery and just right back, hit the ground running. I'm very much hesitant on Jordy Nelson, but also this plays into one of the things I am going to be watching for in this game is how good that Jacksonville defense is going to look, because this is a real test for them. They went out, they got guys through free agency, they drafted guys. They're getting their first-round pick from last year back. I think this defense is going to be legit, and this is the first true test of that. Green Bay has a legit offense. I think Jacksonville's a legit defense. So, obviously you're probably not playing Jacksonville's defense, but this is definitely something to watch because it will determine what the game flow for their offense is going to be like in terms of Bortles and Yeldon and Allen Robinson, because if they can hang in games just with their defensive alone, they won't need to air it out the way they did last year.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this is going to be a game that doesn't have as many points scored as people might think.
No.
I think people assume that the Jacksonville defense just can't, guard the pass like they couldn't last year, and that this game is going to be, just a massive shootout. In my opinion, I think it's going to be more of a grind-it game. You brought in Chris Ivory for a reason. This offense in Jacksonville, I think, is going to be a little bit more slow tempo, compared to what it was last year. I think that this is going to be a little bit different than people think.
For sure. All right. Green Bay at Jacksonville. Green Bay is a 5.5-point favorite on the road. The over-under is 48.5. Mike, who you got?
Green Bay straight up. Jacksonville, if you're counting the line.
Yeah, I'm taking Jacksonville plus the points. In a straight up, I'll take Green Bay. But if you're giving me 5.5 points on a team that I think is pretty talented in Jacksonville, I'll take it. And I'm definitely going to take the under. But you can always check on my Twitter on Sunday. I will tweet out the bets I actually make. I put all the games and all the bets I actually make. I screenshot it. I'll throw it on Twitter. I think I might actually do like a Q&A thing on what is that app?
Periscope?
I think I'm going to do a Periscope on Sunday.
Nice.
And see. So go. You can jump on my Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. I'll do a live Periscope probably sometime an hour before the game. For maybe 30 minutes. If you got questions, feel free. Come talk to me. If you want to ask me DFS questions, go ahead. I'm not the DFS guy. Go listen to the DFS podcast with our new girl Sasha and Mike. If you're asking sit start questions or betting questions, I will be live on Twitter, and I'm sure Mike will definitely be live on Twitter, just maybe not on Periscope. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next game. Talk about Buffalo at Baltimore. I will start off with my kind of thing I'm watching for this week, and that is I want to see what the Baltimore running back situation kind of irons out to be. They'll have three active running backs. They cut Justin Forsett, they re-sign him, they still have Terrence West, still have Buck Allen. I assume Kenneth Dixon will be inactive for a few weeks, as he kind of heals from his injuries. but I want to see kind of who the lead dog is, because the report originally was that it was going to be Terrence West, that he was going to be the lead dog, and then they go right back, they re-sign Justin Forsett, and I don't think Justin Forsett re-signs unless they gave him some sort of assurance he was going to get some time. So I think this could be a two-headed monster, with Buck Allen being the odd man out. I don't think there's very much to like at all in this Baltimore offense or defense for the most part.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. We don't even know about the wide receiver situation, because as muddled as the running backs are, you have a problem at wide receiver. I mean, if Perryman plays, which it seems like he might, and also Steve Smith plays, then you know people that might have been counting on Mike Wallace or Kamar Aiken could be in trouble. It's really hard to gauge. And then you also have like five tight ends there as well. Max Williams, Crockett Gilmore, Dennis Pitta. These are all guys available. RIP Ben Watson. But it's, it's a really muddled offense. This is an offense that you can easily see, you know, five, six guys getting, multiple looks.
You're going to have like three wide receivers that get like 3 for 45.
Yeah, and then like Kyle Juszczyk brings it in the goal line, gets like two touchdowns for like 9 yards. I mean, like I think Justin Forsett is the guy that will lead the backfield in touches, if you want to look at it that way. Terrence West, I think, does have a firm grip on the goal line touches, unless they give it to Juszczyk or whatever, however you pronounce his name. But, for me, I think in PPR leagues, Forsett is your, flex option if you need to go that route. But guys, it's week one. Hopefully you don't have to do that.
Yeah, hopefully you have a better option. Mike, do you have a takeaway for this game?
It was going to be more of that type of nature of what the Baltimore... Joe Flacco as well. I mean, we didn't bring that up, but Joe Flacco is making his first start since his knee injury. Is his deep ball going to be back? I mean, he's never been a big fantasy guy, but for at least the pass catchers and the rest of the offense, it's certainly something we need to keep our eye on. I'll shift it over to the Bills. I think that this is going to be an amazing game for Sammy Watkins. So I have him as a top 10 wide receiver. I believe I'm the highest on the site with his ranking. The secondary for Baltimore last season was absolutely hideous. They did add Eric Weddle, but he's not nearly as good as his prime days in San Diego. You still have Jimmy Smith out there. That's nice. The overall defense for Baltimore, I think, is solid, but they did have a ton of struggle. They struggled a ton last year with the deep ball. Sammy Watkins is amazing with deep routes, and Tyrod Taylor has a pretty decent deep ball himself. I think this is a plug-and-play wide receiver one in Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane. I love Sammy Watkins, and like we had an argument kind of off air in the Friends of Fantasy Benefits staff chat about Sammy Watkins, or maybe that was actually in the three sport league. I can't remember. We had it somewhere, and Chuck was all was badgering. I can't remember if Chuck was pro Sammy Watkins or anti Sammy Watkins, but what it came down for me is I love Sammy Watkins' talent. And I think week to week, I think it's fair to call him a top 10 wide receiver. But I hate the situation. I hate his injury proneness. There's nothing good about Tyrod Taylor in that offense in terms of throwing. So, all right, let's Buffalo at Baltimore. I believe Baltimore is a 3-point favorite in this game. They are at home, over under 45.5. I'm going to have to kind of hold and see and kind of wait and see where that line goes before I make a bet, but I'm pretty sure I'm leaning towards the Bills +3, and I think I'll take the Bills to win the game. Mike, who you got?
I'd take Baltimore to win the game. The points are kind of iffy. If I have to put it down, I'll say Baltimore -3. It's a tough game, though. It's going to be close.
Yep. And if you want, we still have room in our Pigskin Pick'em and Eliminator pools. You can check that out on the Facebook page. I posted them there, and then also on both my Twitter and the Fantasy Benefits Twitter. I've posted them both there. So still room to get in those before the Sunday game starts. But let's go ahead and move on. Talk about Chicago at Houston. Mike, what's your takeaway for this game?
Oh, man, you definitely have to look at what the Bears offense is going to look like, particularly Jeremy Langford. And if it's a continuation of what we've seen in the preseason, I think we're going to be seeing him touch the ball a ton. So for me, I, you know, at the beginning of the preseason, when we, especially when we did the NFC North preview, I was certainly anti Jeremy Langford based on a per touch basis last year and the fact that, you know, Jordan Howard was coming in and I felt like the role would be a little bit more significant for him later or early on. For now, I think Langford is the guy. I think that this is worth monitoring, though, because Jordan Howard had an amazing end to the preseason. He is a bigger back, somebody that is better used in the red zone. So it's certainly something to monitor that Bears running game because, I mean, flat out, they're going to have to really rely on it. We never know what's going to happen with Alshon Jeffrey. We don't know what's going to happen with Jay Cutler. That offensive line is still mighty suspect. So for me, we definitely have to see what this running game kind of shakes out and looks like.
Yeah, I think you and I are kind of both in lockstep. We have Jeremy Langford as kind of a low-end RB2 going up against that that pretty decent defense. Well, a nice defense in Houston. My takeaway is on the other side, and that's Houston's offense. I want to see what they look like in season in terms of how much they're going to run the ball to Lamar Miller, how much they're going to trust Brock Osweiler to go down the field to Hopkins, to the other wide receivers. Are there going to be more than one fantasy viable or two fantasy viable pass catchers in this offense? That is a big question. I know Braxton Miller looked good. You know, they got a couple other guys who, you know, young guys on the roster at the wide receiver position. But if they're not going to trust Osweiler in that huge contract to go down the field and throw the ball, and they're just going to feed Lamar Miller the whole game, it really makes them a little bit useless.
So yeah, absolutely.
this will be our first real kind of sight into what the Houston offense is going to look like going forward.
Yeah, and me personally, I think that this is going to be an offense that leans on Lamar Miller as its, you know, kind of safety blanket. And then with Osweiler, I mean, obviously DeAndre Hopkins is going to get his. But it, for me, I think it really comes down to Will Fuller. He probably will be a guy that you can, you know, will hit once out of every like 3 weeks. He'll end up catching, you know, 5 or 6 balls for 120 yards and a touchdown. But the other 2 or 3 weeks in there, he'll end up being a dud for you. And Braxton Miller will kind of be there too. Yeah, exactly. Braxton Miller is also there. You know, we'll see how he's implemented. He's more of a slot guy. And then they also have Jalen Strong, you know. But I think that that's a great take from this game is this going to be an up-tempo Houston offense, or are they going to really rely on Miller and kind of use DeAndre Hopkins as a another weapon on the outside but remain kind of a slow, steady offense that uses their defense to kind of hold off and make the game slower overall?
Especially in a game in which they should win pretty handily.
Absolutely.
You know, this. You know, it's not a game in which they're going to be down, that they should be down really at any point, but down where they're going to have to throw. This should give us, especially in the first half, should give us a real insight into what this offense is going or wants to be, what its identity is going to be. Chicago at Houston. Houston is the favorite in this game by 6 points. Over-under is 44. Mike, who you got?
Houston, the points.
Yeah, I'll take Houston minus the 6. For sure. Week one is always a good time to bet because I think you can really take advantage of lines. Houston is also one of my two picks for Survivor. So if you're in a Survivor, Eliminator, or whatever you call it, Houston is one I'm definitely going with. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Cleveland at Philadelphia. My takeaway for this game and what I'm kind of looking at this game for, I want to see what Carson Wentz looks like in the pros. You know, what is this Philadelphia Eagles offense going to look like? We had a big argument again with the staff for Friends of Fantasy Benefits off air about what Jordan Matthews' value is going to be this year. And I was on kind of the more positive end of that spectrum. I don't know where you fell on it, Mike, but I think this is a nice test for Carson Wentz and to kind of see how he can move this offense.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest takeaway, obviously. Yeah, for me, I have Jordan Matthews as a wide receiver 3 essentially this week. I have him at 31 on my wide receiver ranks. Certainly a safer option in PPR. I really like Zach Ertz in this game, though. I think, like I mentioned in the Daily Fantasy podcast, I think that Ertz is going to be used as a security blanket. Mm-hmm. Rookies typically go to the tight end position to, use them as a security blanket overall. So I think that Zach Ertz is certainly the biggest benefactor of Carson Wentz starting, as well as Ryan Matthews. In terms of the other side of the game, you know, I'll just mention that this is RG3's first game. I mean, this is his opening day with a brand new team, a Hugh Jackson-led team. Nothing but excitement in the air for him. And, you know, Terrell Pryor is on the other side making plays in the preseason. We won't see Josh Gordon, but I really want to see how RG3 does with Corey Coleman, because we haven't seen much Corey Coleman this year. The preseason has kind of come and gone, and we really haven't seen much of him. But I'm really excited to see what this team looks like. I don't think that this is going to be some type of juggernaut, but I really am excited to see how RG3, you know, paves his way into a new situation and into a new, you know, team. And this it all starts facing Philadelphia this week. I'm hoping for the best. And from a fantasy perspective, all you can do is kind of pick him up. And if he hits, then you got yourself a nice quarterback, possibly quarterback one at times. If he doesn't hit, then we'll have to readjust our thoughts on the offense as a whole.
He's in my $1 million maker lineup.
Yeah, why not?
I believe, you know, and what I really believe is, one, I believe in that Philadelphia defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good defensive line. I think they will be able to shut down Isaiah Crowell. Duke Johnson, I think, will still get his through the passing game. But I think in terms of rushing, I think Philadelphia can slow down Cleveland in that regard. But I don't believe in their defensive backfield at all. And so I think RG3 could have a pretty big day. All right. Cleveland at Philadelphia. Let's see. The Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite at home. Over-under is 41. I'm probably going to stay away from the from both the over-under and the point spread in this game. But I'll take the Eagles at home.
I'm going to take Cleveland. Shake it up a bit.
I'm not going to blame you for that. You know, I think this could be a really, really ugly game.
Very well could. You know. Very well could.
Let's go ahead and move over. We'll talk about your game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. What is your takeaway for this game, Mike?
Absolutely. Seeing Jameis Winston in his second year, he's already shown me a lot this preseason. And, I mean, he's so advanced. I really give him credit. I know he had just a lot of things happened to him in college that didn't need to happen, a lot of maturity issues and a lot of things off the field that really kind of tarnished his outlook based on other people's opinions of him. But at least as a pro and as an athlete, he has done nothing but the right things. And, you know, this is his second year. I'm really interested to see his progression. A lot of people have predicted that he will be a top 12 quarterback this year. I think that it's going to be more of a second half thing because the schedule is pretty brutal at the beginning. But at least here against Atlanta, I expect him to do well. Him and Mike Evans. Mike Evans certainly has to kind of put up or shut up this year. It all kind of starts right now against Desmond Trufant and this Atlanta Falcons secondary that's pretty solid overall, but Trufant usually stays on one side of the field, so we might be able to see Evans still have a solid wide receiver one game, even though he's going to be matched up with one of the better corners in the league. I still have Mike Evans as a wide receiver one this week. I expect it to all be good, but that's what I'll be looking for.
That was going to be my thing I'm looking for too, because this isn't really that interesting of a game.
It's not.
Let's be honest. It's not that interesting. Winston is a guy that I think is a borderline QB1 this week in 12-team leagues.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem. I've got him ranked 13th. I've got no problem with you starting him this week. You know, I think Atlanta's pass defense, it's a bit improved, but it's still not good by any stretch of the imagination.
No pass rush. I mean, if you don't have a pass rush, then you don't generate sacks and, you know, you don't get pressure on the quarterback. I do want to mention on the other end with the Bucs, Cameron Brate and Austin Seferian-Jenkins, they both are still splitting reps. But if for some reason we see one or the other get more playing time, then that's obviously something we need to monitor.
From the reports that were coming out this week, it sounds like Brate is the guy.
Yeah, it very well could be. We all know Seferian-Jenkins just has no head on his shoulders. So he's pretty much continuing the same mentality that Winston had in college, but he's doing it in the pros, so, which is a really, really
smart move.
Yeah, strong.
If you are looking for a guy that might be available on your waiver wire for some reason, it's week one. I don't know why you would be, but you're desperate to start a wide receiver and looking for a guy might be out there in your 12-team league. I've got Mohamed Sanu, as a borderline wide receiver 3 this week. I think Sanu is going to be very involved in the passing game in Atlanta. And I think he is a guy, especially in PPR formats, that could be pretty interesting as someone you don't have to pay for at all.
Yeah, I like that. I like that take. I mean, Sanu, I think, is more viable for PPR leagues. Mm-hmm. He's not the type of guy that's going to go off and, you know, run for 80 yard touchdowns. But I do like his floor in PPR leagues. I think he's a safe, you know, 4 to 7 receptions, you know, 50, 60 yards, which is certainly a benefit. Hopefully, again, you don't need to go that route. But Julio Jones has always kind of owned the Buccaneers. But and I can promise you the Bucs remember that. So Sanu mm-hmm. will probably get a ton of opportunity.
He's going to have a lot of looks underneath when Julio stretches the field.
Yep.
So, all right. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons.
You don't even have to ask me. You know what it is.
Well I've got to ask you, who are you taking?
Taking the Buccaneers. Have to. 1-0.
Yeah, I'm taking the Buccaneers too, and I'll take that 2.5 points just to be on the safe side.
Atlanta's winning this game, though. Don't get it twisted.
I don't know. I don't think Atlanta's very good. So
I don't either.
I'm going with the Bucs. Minnesota at Tennessee. My takeaway for this game, I want to see what Derrick Henry's workload is going to be. There's no, you know, just news-wise, there's going to be no Sam Bradford in this game unless something like catastrophic happens between this recording and, you know, halfway through the game. I don't even know if Sam Bradford will dress necessarily at all, or even, you know, he may be inactive for week one. But I want to see where Derrick Henry's role is going to be early on the season. I expect his role to grow from week one on. But if he's already getting 10 carries week one, I think that's a really good sign for the future.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious on that side of the ball that Derrick Henry is the superior back. Does the, you know, sway over to him starting week one? I don't know, but I think that's certainly the biggest storyline of this game. You know, unless you want to talk about Adrian Peterson, how big is his workload going to be? I don't know, like unending.
Yeah, infinite. He has an infinite workload.
Yeah, how many touches are you going for today, AP? I don't know. Whatever they give me, hopefully like 50. Whatever.
There was a meme going around all week, and it was a picture of Sam Bradford at Vikings practice talking to a couple of the coaching staff, and they were like pointing at a clipboard, and someone like superimposed on the clipboard like 1, hand it to AP, 2, read rule 1, 3, read rule 2. Like, just all we want you to do is hand it to AP and don't get hurt.
That's the absolute truth. And I mean, to be honest here, there's not a lot that we can gain from the Minnesota side of the offense because we won't see Bradford out there more than likely. And, you know, Sean Hill, as much as he's, you know, okay for right now, he's not going to be the guy that's going to be, you know, running this offense. It's going to be Bradford. So in the meantime, we won't see much from this Minnesota team that we can really bank on for the future. I'm hoping that we see a little bit from Laquon Treadwell. I hope we see him hit the field a bit, maybe get a couple catches under his belt and, you know, kind of just get involved a bit. But really, the pass catchers, you kind of have to punt at this point for Minnesota, at least for this week, even Stephon Diggs. So just keep that in mind.
I don't mind playing Diggs this week.
I'm at 38. So, I mean, I think that he's a low end wide receiver 3, but that's kind of what I'm saying here is, you know, even Diggs, the best pass catching option right now on the team, you can't really bank on because we don't know. We can't really bank on for the future because we just don't know what Bradford is going to look like in this offense.
Yeah, I understand. I'm a little bit higher on him than you and actually the rest of the rankers. You and Eric had him at 38. Eli and Ben didn't even rank them in their top 40 wide receivers. I have him at 31. I think he's still going to get his, you know. Obviously, I don't think Charles Johnson is really doing much. Laquon Treadwell isn't ready to make an impact, at least not right now, outside of maybe a jump ball in the end zone. So I think if they throw it, they're going to be throwing it to Diggs. All right, Minnesota Vikings at the Tennessee Titans. Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I'm taking the Vikings too. Probably going to stick away from the betting line. The Vikings are a 2.5 point favorite on the road. I don't really like betting road favorites, especially week one. All right, let's go ahead and we'll just talk about the Bengals at the Jets. Mike, what's your takeaway for this game?
I mean, there's not a lot to take away from this game for me, at least. I think that the Jets are going to be just kind of ho-hum. Regular is what regular does. You know, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, two of the most consistent wide receivers in the league. They're going to be solid this week. There's not much to say there. I'll just kind of throw it to the other side. I really want to see how the Cincinnati offense starts running things without, you know, Marvin Jones there. I understand, you know, and Sanu for that matter. We have Tyler Boyd, who we don't know fully what his role is going to be. And for me personally as well, something that I don't think has been talked about enough in the preseason, Jeremy Hill, you know, somebody that still has all the talent in the world. And with two pass catchers leaving Cincinnati, you wonder how much of the workload really starts shifting to Jeremy Hill, because he still has a lot of prime years left. And I think that this could be not just AJ Green, but also Jeremy Hill could be the bigger benefactors from the moves that they made in the offseason, with Tyler Boyd kind of mixing in later on. But week one is the first place to start. And I'm looking to see how much Jeremy Hill is really implemented into the offense, or whether it's really more of the same type of split that we've seen at least last year with him and Gio Bernard.
Yeah, my takeaway was Jeremy Hill, too. I really want to see what the workload is going to be like for Hill. He looked good in the preseason. He looked like the Jeremy Hill that we saw 2 years ago. So, you know, and it's hard because you want to buy in on that, you know, in the same way that, you know, I kind of bought in on CJ Anderson this year. But there's something that makes me a little off about it. So you definitely want to see that. In terms of the Jets, I want to see Ryan Fitzpatrick not look rusty.
Yeah,
which he did when he was in the preseason games. Because as much as I love kind of what the Jets have going there, I like the I love the defense. I love Brandon Marshall. I love Eric Decker. You know, I'm a little worried that the amount of time off for Ryan Fitzpatrick may affect him early on in the season. I think he'll be fine at some point. But I think early on he could struggle, and that would mean struggles for Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. All right, let's pick this game. The Bengals at the Jets. Mike, who you
Jets.
Got?
Jets.
Ooh, Jets. You didn't take the underdog Jets at home. I'm going to go Bengals, but I'm not going to touch the two-point spread.
I honestly can't believe that the Jets aren't favored. I just feel like
week one lines are always screwy.
I just feel like Cincinnati's bound to be a losing team this year, whether it be 7-9. You know, I'm
not enamored by that entire division. The AFC North to me looks like, I think Pittsburgh may run away with it, but I don't think Pittsburgh is that great either, because their defense sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does. Baltimore easily could win it too. There's a lot to like there.
I don't think there is a lot to like in Baltimore.
No, I don't know. I like. The way Baltimore competed last year, even though they had the worst season they've had in years. And, you know, so the fact that they were able to compete last year with the amount of injuries they had to go through, I think it spells a little bit more positivity for this year. But you're right. The AFC North is kind of wide open,
for a team AFC like North, the AFC South, the NFC East. You've got divisions that I think are going to be god awful.
True that.
All right. Let's go ahead and move over. Talk about another interesting game and a really interesting betting line. The Oakland Raiders at the New Orleans Saints. Mike, what's your takeaway for this game?
I want to see Oakland, to be honest with you. I kind of know New Orleans and how they work, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory what you can expect from them on this side. But Oakland's defense is a team that I think, you know, defense special teams wise in fantasy, we may have a slight glimpse of them being able to pull off a situation where they weren't really drafted, but could be a top 10 starting defense for a lot of the weeks this season. Mm-hmm. And it kind of starts here against New Orleans. I don't think that this is going to be as much of a shootout as people might think it might be. For me, I think that this Oakland defense is legit. Khalil Mack, everybody knows, but just all the pieces of this defense are kind of coming around. Jack Del Rio is a pretty decent defensive mind. And if they do have a solid defense, I think Latavius Murray has a real chance to get a lot of work. I have him as my number 11 running back for this week, as you do as well. That's a running back one. Mm-hmm. So if he is getting that type of workload week one against New Orleans in a hostile territory in New Orleans, we could see a lot of that throughout the year. And, you know, we'll kind of check it out. But, I mean, obviously on the Oakland side, we have to see what this defense is like and what the running back workload is, because we already kind of know about Derek Carr and the pass catchers.
Yeah, I'm I mean, don't get me wrong, I have Latavius Murray as a low end RB1 this week. It is less to do with Latavius Murray and more to do with New Orleans' defense.
Yeah, it is bad still.
That defense is awful. Did you hear the story about Rob Ryan? There'd been some sort of kidnapping plot against him?
No, but that sounds like the best thing ever.
There was a group of people, I guess, in New Orleans that were conspiring to kidnap him or something. And
what are they going to do with him?
I don't know. And I guess they got caught because they butt dialed someone or something like that. I don't know. It's a weird story. I saw it on Twitter.
Wow. He must have really screwed these people over. Like, they must really hate. I mean, everybody hates Rob Ryan, but that's taking it to a whole nother level. Like, what do you even do with somebody like Rob Ryan? You know, he's not going to shut up. So you have to put tape all over his mouth.
Yeah, but at least he's a little bit skinnier now. So, like, he'll fit in the trunk of a car.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, is like, are you going to be able to fit him in a car? We haven't seen him in a while. Maybe he gained the weight back. Is Rex going to be mad? Probably not. You know, I mean, you know, there's all types of questions that, you know, there is with this topic.
Well, for my takeaway, though, I'm just going to move away. Yeah, it's not my kidnapping plans for ex Ryan.
Wait, was it you in the story?
Yeah, it might have been. I got a lot of free time nowadays, Mike. You
butt dialing son of a bitch.
I want to kind of just bring up kind of my, like, sleeper play of the week, and I am starting him in my 14-team league. Clive Walford, baby. He's my boy. I'm sure you guys talked about him on the DFS podcast as a really cheap tight end option, but I think he's a guy that could be a really sneaky play. New Orleans is one of the worst teams against the tight end last year. I don't think they did a ton to improve that, so... I think Walford, in a game that could end up being somewhat of a shootout, depending on Oakland's defense, I think Clive Walford could be getting a lot of action.
Love it.
All right. Oakland at New Orleans. Mike, who you got?
Really tough game to call. I'll go...
1.5-point spread in favor of the Saints.
Yeah, my first thought is New Orleans, but I'm going to go Oakland because I think that this could be a real difference-making year for them.
I'm not touching the spread, but I'm going to take New Orleans at home. It is an early game, you know, West Coast team traveling east for an early game. So,
yeah.
You know, in the dome, I'm going to give the Saints just a little bit of an advantage. Like I said, I'm not touching the point spread, but I'll take the under on 52 points.
Yeah, so will I.
So, all right. Let's move on to the last kind of early game. That's San Diego at Kansas City. I want to see what the running back situation looks like in Kansas City.
For sure.
I mean, I have Spencer Ware pretty high in my ranks this week. I am extremely nervous about that.
Like, oh, don't be nervous.
I've got it as a top 10 play. Where do you have Spencer Ware, Mike?
Where do I have Spencer Ware? I have him as my number 6 running back this week.
Oh, you're higher than me.
Barely. You're at 7. But yeah, I mean, just to kind of piggyback off of what you're saying, there's nothing really for me to see. Spencer Ware is the guy this week. Sharkhandrick West will mix in, which I understand. But, you know, Jamaal Charles isn't playing. If Spencer Ware goes off against the San Diego team that was absolutely hideous against the run last year, we could be seeing not a changing in the guard, but a situation kind of like Andre Ellington. You know, not to that degree or stretch, but we could easily see a situation where Spencer Ware ends up getting a lot of the carries in between the tackles, and Charles is kind of implemented in, you know, as a guy that gets, you know, 6 to 10, you know, carries a game and then gets another, you know, 4, 5, 6 receptions, which is not nearly what you would want paying for him in the top 4 rounds, like where he was going. And, you know, God forbid where you took him early on in drafts when we thought that he was healthy-ish coming into the year. So, yeah, I mean, at least for this week, I don't think there's a lot to look for in terms of workload. It'll be more when Charles returns, and that's going to be a big question to ask.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll necessarily lose that much value. I think Charles is one of those guys who shouldn't get a ton of carries.
He shouldn't, like, anyways.
I don't want to see him touching the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather see him touch the ball, you know, 12 to 15 times. I think this becomes thunder and lightning. There is part of me that is, like, I don't think Ware is extremely talented of a runner. I mean, do you disagree with that?
I think he's more opportunity. Average. Yeah, it is above average. I mean, it is about opportunity for sure. But I mean, he's going to be checked.
But that's the difference between fantasy baseball and fantasy football. Fantasy baseball, you know, we tend to want to bet on the skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we figure over the course of 162 games, the skills are going to win out over roles.
Yep.
Fantasy football is different. You know, we have to take roles becomes much more important early on in the season because there's only 16 weeks.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, so it's one of those things where I'm less likely to care that much that I don't think that Spencer Ware is necessarily an amazing talent. I think he's a better talent than Sharkhandrick West. And so I think that is what is important to me. Like I said, top 10 play this week.
Agreed.
All right. Did you have a takeaway for this game?
Yeah, you know, I definitely will be looking at Melvin Gordon for sure. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like it goes without saying there. He looks like a changed running back. I want to believe that he's a changed running back, so we'll check it out. But the guy that I really want to look at this week is Travis Benjamin, because this is an offense where, you know, Keenan Allen is surely going to be the one featured as a pass catcher here, and I have him ranked as such. I actually have him a little bit lower, though, because, you know, first off, Marcus Peters is amazing. He's borderline one of the best secondary guys in the league. He's just an absolutely phenomenal corner. But for me, I want to see how Travis Benjamin kind of gets implemented here. He is going to be taking that Malcolm Floyd role. He is a great deep threat. I think he's kind of underrated for this week as well. So I definitely want to see how that kind of shakes out. You know, I think that he could certainly be a guy that, you know, is worth a shot if you are down by a ton of points and you want to kind of, you played somebody that had CJ Anderson and you need to make it up because you're starting somebody that shouldn't be starting in week one or whatever it might be. But I really want to see what happens here.
I think you nailed it when you said he's playing that Malcolm Floyd role, because I think he's going to play that exact role that Malcolm Floyd used to play, which was every once in a while he'll surprise you, but for the most part, he's going to be non-existent.
Very well could be that way.
I'm not impressed at all by Travis Benjamin. I think he's Torrey Smith light to me. So I want nothing to do with Travis Benjamin, you know, in any format, really. San Diego at Kansas City. Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go Kansas City.
Yeah, I'll take Kansas City. I think I'm probably going to lay that 6.5 that they're doing at home. I'll take them in Arrowhead over. I think San Diego could easily be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. And then I also have Kansas City as also one of my Survivor picks as well, Survivor Eliminator picks as well this week. All right, that wraps us up for the early games. Let's move into the 1 p.m. games, 4 p.m. games, depending on which coast you're living on. Let's start with Miami at Seattle. Mike, what's your takeaway for the game?
It's got to be the running back situation for Seattle. And, you know, I mean, that's what we're definitely going to be looking at. I think Thomas Rawls is going to either be out of this game or he's going to get a very limited role. They've already voiced that Christine Michael is going to get the majority of the first team looks. All I can say is this, is that if he goes off for over 100 yards and a touchdown and Thomas Rawls only gets, you know, 4 touches and, you know, gets barely anything out of them, it's a real possibility that we could be seeing a change, at least for the short term. I'm not going to sit here and say that Thomas Rawls is going to lose the gig or anything like that, but it always comes down to whether people perform or not. And Christine Michael has always had all the talent in the world. Miami is going to have to travel here to Seattle, which leaves them in a very, very difficult spot to be in. I can easily see Michael. He's my 25th running back this week. I can easily see him putting up top 25 numbers at the position. It's just always based on workload, and that's going to be a big indication of what we'll see, at least in the short term, for this Seattle team. So that's definitely what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that was going to be my takeaway, too. I don't know why I always throw it to you and we have the obvious takeaway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go something a little bit kind of off the radar. I think this is going to be an interesting matchup because the Miami defense is improved to me.
Yeah.
And I think this is a team that people are really sleeping on in terms of a playoff contender, in terms of a fantasy defense, in terms of a defense that can keep opposing fantasy numbers down. And I think this is a team that is really on the upswing. I love what they're doing with the offense and Adam Gase. I love what they've done with the defense. I'm really impressed by Miami, and I think this is a team that people aren't really afraid of, that after this week, playing on the road in Seattle, people are going to be afraid of them after this week.
Yeah, we haven't seen Ndamukong Suh really wake up, and this preseason he has woken up. He looks spectacular. Mario Williams has already said that he loves his role on this team way more than he ever loved being
Alonso,
with the Bills.
I mean, they brought in some talent this year.
Yeah, and Jelani Jenkins is already a star out there. There's a lot to like on that defense. Rashad Jones, there's a lot to like here. So yeah. I completely agree with watching that. I wouldn't be that surprised if there was an upset. I'm not expecting it, obviously. But this is a team that I really love.
All right. Miami at Seattle. Seattle is a 10.5-point favorite at home. Who you got?
I'm definitely taking Miami with the points, Alex, for 500.
But
as far as just picking the game straight up, I'm going to go Seattle.
I'm going to take Miami plus the 10.5. And you know what? I'm going to take Miami on the money line this week.
Wow.
Plus 400, I will take that payday all day long.
Hey, I'm rooting for it, man. I would love nothing more.
I think Miami is a sneaky good team, and I think Seattle is sneaky bad.
Any thoughts on why Eli ranked Russell Wilson number one, and all of us had him at number four or lower?
Eli's fucking crazy. I have no idea.
That could be a possibility.
Eli's been working like 70-hour weeks for the last like 2 months. So yeah. I think he needs to be delirious. Yeah. let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about Detroit at Indianapolis. I am really interested to see kind of what the Detroit wide receiver situation looks into. I want to see, is Golden Tate going to take a step forward without Calvin Johnson? Is Marvin Jones going to kind of become the main target for Matthew Stafford? And also, you know, and maybe I'm taking away all the takes, at least from the Detroit side. Ameer Abdullah, I hated on him last year. I absolutely hated on him. Everybody was super high on him. I hated on him. But this year, I feel like the hate's gone way too far. Like, sure. I feel like he's a really sneaky play this week.
Yeah, he could be.
Especially like in a DFS format. I know I'm not on the DFS podcast anymore because you and Sasha kicked me off.
Yeah, but... and Sasha's just way hotter. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
How dare you?
I think your wife would even agree with that.
Yeah, probably. But I feel like, you know, like Ameer Abdullah is in my $1 million maker lineup.
Yeah, he's a top 25 running back for me this week as well. Indianapolis is not any great shakes on defense. I mean, I understand they have Tequell Jackson and they have a couple other pieces here that are solid, but they're not a defense that scares me. I love this game from a fantasy perspective. I think it's going to go off.
Yeah, it should. What's your takeaway for this game?
Yeah, I love Matthew Stafford this week. I have him as a top five wide receiver. That would be great to see. I have him as a top five quarterback. I do think you make a great point about the Detroit offense as a whole. Like I already mentioned with Abdullah, I think he's a top 25 guy. Marvin Jones, I've watched more and more this preseason, and the more and more I've just grown to love him. I think week one is going to be the first week of many where he shows that he is going to be the best fantasy wide receiver on this team. And I think that this is going to be kind of his coming out party with Detroit. I can't think of a better place for him to be. Matthew Stafford has an absolute slingshot of an arm. Jim Gobkuh was an amazing coordinator with this team. Ever since he came there, Matthew Stafford was a top five quarterback. They brought Marvin Jones in for a specific reason. Golden Tate is a great possession guy. I love Stafford for DFS purposes, for season long. I love the whole entire thing going on with Detroit. So I love Indy too, but I'm just saying overall, I really think that Stafford's going to have an amazing week.
All right. Detroit Lions at the Indianapolis Colts. Mike, who you got?
This is really tough for me to give an answer on. I will probably go with Indianapolis barely.
Let's see. Indianapolis is a 3.5-point favorite at home. Yeah, I'll take the Colts. I'm not touching that line though. The over under of 51.5 is really interesting because I think it could be like a 35-45 kind of game. But maybe I may throw that one in on Sunday. All right, let's move on to the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. my takeaway has got to be Ezekiel Elliott. Got to see him, you know, live action. What is he going to do? I mean, I thought at first I was going to talk about just how bad the Giants offense has looked this preseason and just how awful they look and kind of confused and rusty. And but for me, I need to see Ezekiel Elliott kind of go into beast mode. Is this a guy that we can really trust on as an RB1 going forward?
Maybe.
great insight, Mike. What's your takeaway?
Do you, everybody, if you don't know how, my stance on Zeke Elliott, well, I'll give you a refresher really fast. One of the best talents to come out of the running back corps or core in college, you know, possibly ever. An amazing.
Possibly ever.
He's one of the best prospects at running back since AP. That's what I've seen or heard a lot of people say. Todd Gurley is obviously up there, but I think Ezekiel Elliott is right up there with Todd Gurley in terms of talent.
He's the best running back prospect since last year.
Since last year with Gurley. And then before that, it took a while. But regardless, the offensive line is, it's not really close. They are the best unit in football. I understand Dak Prescott's there, and we'll have to see how this is, kind of plays out, especially since it is a rookie quarterback. But the fact that he can run, the fact that he can throw the ball well, I do in my heart feel like Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a top 10 running back this year. So, I do say maybe because nothing is ever set in stone. But I think Ezekiel Elliott is in a perfect position to get a ton of fantasy points this year.
He needs to be more than just a top 10 running back to justify where people took him.
He needs to be a
top three, top four guy.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the draft, yeah, but it's we'll see. He is the guy that's going to touch the ball the most.
I'm putting 11 men in the box.
I would too if I was them. And their run defense isn't bad. I'll give them that. They added Olivia Vernon in the offseason. Jason Pierre-Paul had an offseason and a full training camp with the Giants this year.
He's really getting used to 8 fingers.
Yeah, possibly 7 after this 4th of July this last year. We just haven't heard about it yet. We never know.
I'm sure he's paid someone to handle the fireworks now.
Yeah. I'll talk about on my end, Sterling Shepard. I really want to see how this kid comes into the league for his first game of the year. I know he is a big DFS play this week because of his price on both FanDuel and DraftKings. This is the first time that Eli Manning has had a legitimate wide receiver two next to Odell Beckham Jr. The fact that, the guy from last year, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. Reuben Randle, who has been there for so many years, and the fact that Eli Manning was still solid despite that, and Odell Beckham has been borderline the top wide receiver in football despite that as well, goes to show me that having a guy like Sterling Shepard, who is a legit, absolutely legit wide receiver, it could make this offense much better than we've seen it the last couple of years. So I'll look at it.
He did not look good in preseason.
He didn't, and that's why I'm not sitting here in overwhelming excitement, but the preseason is the preseason. As far as his overall athleticism and able to high point the ball and just hit the overall package, I'm really excited about it for this year.
And I am too. I think long term, I'm a big fan of Sterling Shepard.
It does take time though. Rookie receivers are still rookie receivers. We've gotten lucky over the last few years with a few guys like Amari Cooper, and then the greatest wide receiver class of all time with Mike Evans and Kelvin Benjamin, and
the greatest wide receiver class it
is.
Of all time.
It really is. I mean, if you look from a fantasy perspective, that also had Dante Moncrief in it, who nobody's even really talking about from that class. Jarvis Landry, like there's so many wide receivers. Keenan Allen, so many wide receivers.
All right. Giants at the Cowboys. This is an even game. No favorite. Who you got?
Giants.
Giants. I'm taking the Giants. All right. Let's go ahead and move on. Let's talk about the Sunday night game. The Patriots at the Cardinals. Mike, what is your takeaway for this game?
Here's my hot take. Julian Edelman is going to be outside the top 30 wide receivers in fantasy points for week one. And the reason why is...
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's not that hot of a take, dude.
It's pretty hot.
No, it's not.
Well, based on our rankings
he was barely like a top 25 drafted wide receiver this year.
Whatever.
And he's missing Tom Brady.
I have a feeling you're lying about that. I'll definitely look that up while you're talking about your take. But
I'm going to look it up while you're talking about your take.
Well, the thing is, like, Edelman, based on our site rankings, the closest one to me at 32 is Eric Mackey. He has him at 24. You are the second highest at 18. And then Eli with his great ranks this week are at 14. So for me, I mean, you already kind of mentioned the quarterback situation. I think that that's a big problem for Edelman. The fact that he runs very precise routes and has such a good rapport with Tom Brady, and he's obviously not playing, that also lends to a ton of negativity for me. Also, the Arizona secondary is just a really solid unit. I think that this defense is my top overall play of the week. So for me, I think that this is just all adding up to Julian Edelman having a very, very down situation, not just for this week, but for the first 4 weeks until Tom Brady comes back and until Edelman gets healthy. He's just constantly having these nagging issues. It's becoming a bit of a problem.
Edelman was the 20th ranked wide receiver in standard leagues, according to Fantasy Pros. Still, though, not that bold. I mean, it's bold compared to the rest of the guys on the site. That's true. I think Edelman, especially with Gronk being a little bit banged up, could be a guy that Garoppolo leans on a little bit more, especially if they get down, which I do kind of expect them to do. I think Arizona probably jumps out to an early lead, and at some point, New England is going to be forced to throw. And I think Edelman could become more of a focus of the passing game as long as he is 100% healthy. I see why you're down on him. I'm fine with that. My takeaway was going to be about what can the Patriots do without Tom Brady for 4 weeks, because I think this game really gives us an insight into, okay, is there anything fantasy viable until Tom Brady comes back?
You would assume James White, right? Because
I would assume. I think I'm pretty high on James White this week. I'd have to let me find him in my ranks while you talk.
Well, you would assume James White because of the fact that, you know, his role is pretty steady. He's going to be the passing game option and likely the, you know, what, second, third, fourth option on the team in terms of targets. You know, Gronk is injured for this week. So if y'all haven't heard that yet, that's certainly a problem for him. I have White right next to LeGarrette Blount in my rankings. I have White at 37 and Blount at 39. If this turns into more of a grind type game, then Blount is certainly the option that you want to go with. But I don't feel really comfortable starting either of them. If I had to choose one, it'd be White because I feel like he has the ability to make a big play. But at least for now, it's kind of hard to trust either.
Yeah, I'm going White in PPR and Blount in
standard.
Standard, I've got Blount as my 29th running back, White as my 33rd. So I mean, they're four spots away from each other. I think it just kind of depends on your format. And if you get any bonus for catches, then I'm going with White. All right. New England at Arizona. Mike, who you got?
Gotta go Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona is a 6.5-point favorite. I'm not betting that spread, but I'll take Arizona at home. All right, let's move into the Monday night games. My game, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Washington Redskins. Mike, tell me how much you love my team.
So much. That's like all I think about every day is the Washington Redskins, But speaking of your team, I'm assuming you're going to talk about the running back situation there. If you're not, then I'll talk about it for a second. But
I'm going to talk about Matt Jones.
All right. So since you're talking about that, I do want to say that I think DeSean Jackson is an underrated play because he just, for me, he was going too late in drafts, and Kirk Cousins is going to have to throw the ball. They threw the ball so much last year. I feel like it's going to continue that way. So DeSean Jackson, I think, needs to be, you know, on people's radars for sure. But on the other end of the ball, I just want to see how the, you know, the second wide receiver or second, you know, we have all these other options now with, you know, D'Angelo Williams and Antonio Brown are automatics. But after that, you know, you have Jesse James at tight end. You have Sammy Coates. You have Eli Rogers. You have even Darius Hayward-Bey. I mean, there's all these other pass catching options for Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, I still like Big Ben. I think that he's going to be a top, you know, at least top eight option for the season. But it's really hard to pinpoint where we think the secondary targets are going to go on this team. So I think week one will definitely shed some light on that. Washington doesn't have the best secondary. So I think we'll be able to, you know, see a few opportunities for some other guys on this team and hopefully give ourselves a better opportunity to pinpoint who will be that, you know, third, fourth guy.
Yeah. My takeaway is going to be Matt Jones. I mean, he is progressing like he's going to be fine for the game. I don't think he was on the injury report. And for those of you that haven't noticed, there is a new injury report system this year. There is no more probable.
Ridiculous.
You guys are either questionable or doubtful or out.
Strong.
So just be very, very wary of that. If you see questionable, that is the equivalent of last year's probable and questionable combined. So you're pretty much going to have to just play very close attention before game time on your guys. But it looks like Matt Jones will play. I originally had Matt Jones. I believe I had Matt Jones pretty high in my ranks. Oh, 25th, so not that high in my RB ranks. I'm very skeptical about whether I want to play him this week. I want to see how much Chris Thompson is involved. I'm a little worried about, you know, the fumbling issues and what we see with Matt Jones. I was really high on Matt Jones all throughout the preseason. I'm not quite ready to back away from it yet, but with the injury, with the limited practice time, I'm a little bit scared for this week. What are your thoughts on Matt Jones?
I'm definitely weary of him. I was much higher on him prior to this whole injury mess, for sure. And then with Keith Marshall being out, Ryan Kelly kind of emerged as a possible option. But I feel like he's getting a little overhyped because...
Oh, no, it's absolutely insane.
A lot of people play standard leagues, and I get it, you know. But for me in PPR, I feel like Chris Thompson is a surefire Theo Riddick-type guy that that should be rostered everywhere. I think that ends up being my main takeaway from that whole situation, is that Chris Thompson, I think, has a cemented role that will not change. It might not be a high upside type of guy, but the floor is always going to be there. Matt Jones obviously has a higher ceiling by far, and you know, hopefully he kind of taps into that. But at least for now, I think Chris Thompson is the safest running back on that roster, and we'll just have to hope and pray that Matt Jones figures things out and really pray.
All he's got to do is hold on to the goddamn ball.
Just not fumble it. Yeah, you know, just not fumble it.
Yeah, just don't put the fucking ball on the ground.
Yeah.
Seriously, right. Dude.
Absolutely.
All right. Pittsburgh Steelers at my Washington Redskins. The Redskins are 3.5-point underdogs in this game. Who you got, Mike?
I'll show you some love. You picked the Bucks, so I will show you some love and go with the Redskins.
I'm going with the Redskins too, baby.
Shocker.
I'm not betting on it because I don't bet on my team.
Shocker.
Pittsburgh's going to destroy them, aren't they? Let's go ahead.
It's a very good possibility.
Let's move on and talk about the Rams and the Niners. Mike, what's your takeaway for this game?
Honestly, it's gonna be Torrey Smith, and it's not because I want it to be what I think about, but it's because I just don't know where else this is gonna come. I mean, we can talk about Carlos Hyde, but at some point Blaine Gabbert has to throw to somebody. I think Vance McDonald is a strong option, but it has to be a wide receiver in there that emerges as well. I know that you hate Torrey Smith, and me personally, I don't particularly love him either, but there has to be some type of a glimpse of hope that at least one wide receiver on this team is going to be viable. The Chip Kelly offense runs too many plays for there not to be at least one guy that emerges from this group. So I'll be really watching Torrey Smith closely, as well as this whole 49ers offense, really. And to be honest, I'm going to be watching everything closely. It's not like I'm just watching one thing, but as far as Smith, I think he is an important part of this team, and you know, as even though he's an inconsistent guy, we will really have to see if Chip Kelly being there might give him a little bit better floor in terms of maybe he's running some shorter routes and get some safer completions under his belt. You never know, but I hope things kind of turn around for him a bit.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
I know you hate him. I know.
I mean, for me, it's all about Carlos Hyde. I want to see him healthy coming off the concussion. He looks like he is on pace to be fine for the game. I think he's a workhorse. I think this is the breakout year for Carlos Hyde, so I think it all starts week one. But, you know, I gave you Clive Walford as my like my tight end sleeper of the week. I'll give you another one. Tyler Higbee will score a touchdown this week.
Oh, God. All right. Yeah, throw it in there.
If he's active.
He'll be active. I mean, but I think that's not the strongest move. They saved Todd Gurley all preseason, offered to run him 350 times this year. So
yeah, well, I mean, they got to do they do that to set up the play action pass to Higbee, baby. Higbee is my boy.
I can tell you like Higbee. I'm down with Higbee. I think that this will be a development year, but I do like Higbee. And I got to say, man, I'm, you know, just on a side note, I don't think Jared Goff gets this job anytime soon. I think that Jared Goff.
Why would you?
I mean, some people have been high on Goff, you know, since he got drafted number one overall. And at the end of the day, I mean, Carson Wentz is, if he doesn't get injured, he's going to start all year for, you know, Philadelphia. And, you know, for me, I think Goff is just way behind. It's unfortunate, but Case Keenum knows how to run that offense. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be seeing a lot of Case
and
Keenum.
I mean, Jeff Fisher needs to get to 8-8.
Yeah. And I mean, what better guy to do that with than Case Keenum?
Case Keenum, yeah. All right. Niners versus St. Louis. Mike, who you got in that game?
I'm going to go St. Louis for sure.
Yeah, I'm taking St. Louis too. Probably sticking away from the spread and the over-under in that game, though. All right, Mike, that is going to wrap us up. That is our first week one or first week preview.
Exhilarating.
Yeah.
Exhilarating. Good to do. Good to do. Feels good.
We kept it under an hour and a half.
Yeah, and we made it. To all you fantasy owners, y'all made it. We're like, you're done with the hard part. Now you just have to, you know, pick up guys off waiver wire, be smart with your bids,
yeah.
Make sure that you're smart with trading, but it's all on you now. You know?
Don't sit Kelvin Benjamin week one.
Yeah, don't matter who he's playing,
yeah.
Even if it's, you know, the Denver Broncos. But, you know, I know a couple of people I was at the bar with, actually, that were very upset that Kelvin Benjamin caught a touchdown. So,
the guy who was playing in that that Razzball Dream League, he's the biggest shit talker in the league, even bigger than me or Tail. He's super fucking annoying. I hope he's listening to this. He sat Kelvin Benjamin right before the game.
Booyah. See what happens when you're an asshole in life? It comes around full circle.
And I have CJ Anderson in that league.
Yeah. That's what I'm so excited for. I know I'm getting a little off tangent here, but football season is great because all of it comes in one day for the most part. And mm-hmm. It's just a lot of fun, especially week one. It's just everything we've been working for in the off season. You know, as far as the listeners go, y'all made it through. We're right there with y'all. We're going to be, using all of the, technology that's available nowadays and all the game rewinds and all that stuff to watch every game and get every piece of information we can and help all y'all out and get some champions.
Eight fucking TVs set up in my front room.
Yeah. Just
it's absolutely amazing.
Swole. TV's on swole.
Oh, man. It's so great. I love football season.
It's amazing. That's the thing, too, is like baseball is always an amazing sport. It's beautiful. But there's just something different about football that you just can't describe. So, I mean, like I said, man, we all made it.
Baseball's a grind. Baseball, it's 162 games, you know, every day for 6 months. Football is like dessert.
Yeah,
like we've done all the hard work with baseball, but now football is when we really get to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, it really is, you know. So, I mean, as far as listeners go, stay with us all year. We're going to help y'all win. I promise you that. And we're right there with you guys trying to compete and win championships. So, yeah, stay with us.
Yeah, that's right. You can follow Mike on Twitter, at Mike Warner, FWFB. You can follow me on Twitter, at Justin Mason, FWFB. Mike, what do you got going on these days?
Yeah, just we're going to be continuing doing our positional ranks week in and week out. So if you have any type of questions that you're throwing at us on Twitter and we're not getting to them immediately, if it's a one player or two player, you know, type of question, just look at our ranks. You can see all of us on the site who do them. And, you know, if you like somebody else's opinion more, you can go by those. But those are always available for you. We continue to have football content up on the site. You can check out my Houston Texans and overall defense IDP type stuff on fantasypros.com. And we're still going to strong with baseball, so check all that out.
Yep. I'm going to I will post on Twitter and then on the website my bets for the week. Every week on Sunday I will post who I'm betting. I'll take a screenshot of it, post that on Twitter, and then I'll type it up and put it on the website, so you can definitely check that out. Like I said, I'm gonna try out this this Periscope thing. I've never done one before. I don't know how it's gonna work out. I don't even know, like, how it's even going to work in terms of, like, doing it. Because, like, do I do it on my phone? Do I do it on my computer? I got short arms. I can't even, like, see myself when I do a selfie. So, this will be – I'm going to try it out. Come interact with me. I will answer whatever questions I can. But it should be a lot of fun. So, and then Mike and I are very active on Sundays on Twitter – before the game starts and during the game, so definitely hit us up there. For Mike and myself, thank you for listening, and have a fantastic football season.
Go CJ Spiller.
Go CJ Spiller.
Fuck yeah, man. Go CJ Spiller.